All right. Got to do something for me right now. Is that okay? Lord Jesus, I just come to you and I just want to ask you to come into this house. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move today. Lord, I know that there would not be people in heaven, not souls saved, if it wasn't for this church and this community. Lord, I know there's some people in this building today that would not be in the heavenly gates in your presence through eternity without this church opening its doors and opening its arms and accepting them for what they are and who they are and letting them see Jesus through their love. Lord, I thank you and praise you for this church today. Lord, I want to thank you for Mr. Steve, God, for coming over to Wortham, Texas just 5 or 6 years ago. Lord, I want to thank you for Ketch Weaver being there and asking me and my family to come out in the middle of nowhere and put on one of the biggest and best rodeos, God, that was known in this area. And that meant nothing, God, because what it meant was for me, God, to get the opportunity to come to Cossey, Texas someday. Lord, it's just neat how you make the plan come together, and we ain't got nothing to do with it. God, Barry Clower is nothing without you. Lord, I am just a humbled servant standing here before you today. And God, I pray that you would humble me even more as we proceed through the day. Lord, having to do something, God, that you have to do every day, and that's judge. And judge right and judge fair. And not be harsh and not be strong-minded and strong-willed, but God, be firm. And Lord, I pray that you would lift me up and just separate me, God, from my will, but have your will done as you've asked me to judge this rodeo today. And God, most of all, right now, as we come and put all of that out of our mind, we put all of that out of our heart and our thoughts, that we come before you, Jesus, as humble servants. Lord, many of us in this room have accepted you as our Lord and Savior, God, and that's period. That's it. That's all we've done. And that's all it takes to get to heaven, and we thank you for that. But Lord, you've asked us to do just a little bit more. Lord, there's people in here that's supposed to be vocal. God, you've asked me to be vocal, and that's what I'm going to strive to do, especially at this time, for your word. Lord, there's people that you've called not to be so vocal, but to be quiet, to be patient, and pray for those that have to stand up before you. And Lord, I pray that those prayer warriors go to work right now, and I lift them up and thank you for them. Lord, there's people that put feet through their prayers and they're working hard to have this rodeo every year. Lord, I thank you for Belton Hill Jr. and Anita Hill. God, both of them resting in your peace. They have been healed, God, in your name. But they're on your side, not our side. And I thank you, Lord, for letting them be very much a part of this. And their memorial and their time. And the people that have heard Jesus' name and heard his word and have accepted him, God, through their life and through their death. Lord, most of all, through your life and death and resurrection, Lord, we just thank you, God, for the place to be able to worship you today in a free country. God, I lift our country up right now. Lord, I pray for those that think they're in power. God, praise Jesus, you're in power. You're putting those people where they need to be, so that we will accept the fact that it's not going to be the government that saves us. It's going to be God that saves us. It's going to be the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, Lord, that moves through this building today and through our hearts and through our lives and through our communities. God, help us to so shine for you. Or tomorrow we celebrate Columbus Day. A man that left his own country not knowing, but he had faith that the world was round and he was going to end up somewhere that he could start serving you, God, and that's what he did. Lord, help us, each one, to have the faith, because now we know the world is round. And God, we know that we're just going round and round in circles without you. And Lord, I pray in the power and the blood and the precious name of Jesus that you will be seen here today, and that it would leave this building, leave this arena today, and go forth to the rest of this community, the rest of Texas, and the rest of the world. In Jesus' name, I beg this. Amen and amen. Ain't no recess today. God don't play. God come over me just a few short years ago and realized that Barry Clower ain't nothing without Jesus. And I want to offend everybody here if you think you're something. You ain't nothing without Jesus. Last year I had to judge a lots of rodeos. This year I got to judge a lots of rodeos because I figured out you're guaranteed a check if you get invited to judge the rodeo. Ain't everybody going to like it. Some of you pay you to come. A lot of people pay you to leave. It don't matter. You still get paid. Last year at this very rodeo, I had to judge pretty critically because I didn't only have the teams looking at me to judge them fairly. I had the people that owned the cattle to look at me to take care of their cattle. I had wives sitting in the stands holding babies, praying that their man would win at least one event and get some money so they could buy some diapers. All of that was going through my mind. And so when you take that all into consideration, judge not lest ye be judged. And you're going to be judged the way that you judge. We're using all those scriptures. That's all biblical right there. Now, a lot of times we get lost in translation. If you get lost in my translation today, you're dumber than dirt. Okay? That's just the bottom line right there. Because I'm the most dyslexic, and if they would have spelt the word dyslexic backwards when I was in the third grade, I would have known what I had a long time ago. You see a page, you see a bunch of words, and you start at the bottom, and you think, start counting backwards is what I do. And I'm like, oh, my Lanta, I ain't going to be able to get through this. I'm overwhelmed. So I have to draw a line, and I have to read real careful, and I have to look and study. And why God called me, I can't sit down and read hardly anything, but God says, hey, one of these days you're going to have to read my word. How am I going to do that? I used to be the kid that never would look up, hated to go to Sunday school class because I know she's going to call on me to read. I always got in trouble on reading day at school because they sent me to the office. I'd rather have my butt beat plumb off of my hind end. Oh, are you offended because I said butt? Anybody that don't have one, stand up and cast the first stone. Okay, we're all good. We're going on with it. What my teachers didn't whip off and my dad didn't whip off the first 18 years of my life, my wife has chewed off probably the last 30 years of my life. Almost 32 now. Amen or oh me. You know that's right. She said I was special. She didn't say what I was special at. It's more like not AT, but ED, special ed. I accelerated. I found a class I could accelerate in. I have called Levi's and asked them to prepare a pair of jeans with just one pocket back there. That's all I have the room for anyway. Don't waste the money on that extra pocket. Some of y'all caught that. Thank you. Trust and having faith. If you can see it, you can trust it, can't you? If you can see it, you can have faith, can't you? Well, you don't have to. Who invited me to come here? Well, yes, amen, thank you. But there's an individual, because if this is good and you enjoy it and you get something out of it, we're going to give God the glory, amen? All right. But there was your preacher invited me to come. So if it goes bad, y'all blame him. It's all off of me. I'm done. But today we was going to stop on the way over here. And we would like to have a chocolate malte latte with some raspberry in it. Well, you can get that at Starbucks. And I said, well, we'll stop at a Starbucks. I don't see a Starbucks. And that's not me one up here. But I see a Jack in the Box. But I see a Whataburger. I saw the Starbucks sign when we got off the highway, way back up the road. All right. I said, y'all don't have faith. Y'all don't have faith in Father over here driving. See where this is going? Yeah, I knew there was one up there. I didn't have to have faith. I didn't have to trust. I knew there was one up there. Everybody else in the vehicle, they had to trust. They had to have faith that old dad knows what he's talking about. We got us one of them choco mate lattes with raspberry in it. I didn't. I just got a tall cup of coffee, and it was the same price. I should have got some more stuff in it. Multi-millionaire company right now because they got iced coffee. How many billions of dollars have I thrown away? Woo, that's cold. Put some ice in it, sell it for $6.95. You'd be rich. Trust, faith. My point is, God's point is once we see, we don't have to have faith. When the preacher saw me walk in the back door, you quit having faith that I would be here, didn't you? You had faith that I would come. When I showed up, face out the window. You don't have to have faith anymore. in me because you know I'm here. Does that make any sense at all? Okay, good deal. All right, we can move on because that was probably the most technical part of this. Good deal. Y'all got that. We say, well, how do you know all that? Well, let's just start back here. Like I said, I'm dyslexic. I always start at the back and work my way forward. In Revelations chapter 22, oh, dear, we can turn him off. He's went to Revelations. We don't go there. We don't use the Old Testament anymore because we don't like to go Old Testament on people. And we don't want to get that far over into the New Testament because we don't want to think about that part happening. Well, guess what? It's happening. Revelations 22, verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. That's Jesus Christ talking. It said, blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book, in God's word. Are we keeping the prophecy today in America of God's word? As a whole, now I ain't going Fox News on you or anything, okay? You get to hear that all week. Going to God's Word. What can I trust? Oh, well, we can't trust this media, but we can trust that media. Oh, we can't trust that. We got to trust in God. We got to trust the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to turn this, what you would want to call a human body, if you would allow me to call that, been called other things, and anything you can think of, I bet I've been called worse. But he can transform this right here into something that can live eternity in heaven. How many of y'all believe that? You trust that. And you don't think he ain't going to help you make a truck payment next month? Huh? I'm there. Yeah, you there? They will come take my pickup if I don't make the payment. Y'all know where this is going. Well, if they come get my pickup, guess what? I don't have a payment, and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Say that to your banker. Take when your banker says, here's a contract that we have with you. You owe us $27,000. I said, yes, sir. Look over in the right corner. Yes, sir, that's Barry Clyre, spelt with one R, so we know you spelt it. It's spelt wrong. Said, well, that's the way my mama spelt it. But guess what? What's over in the left-hand corner? Cody Cloud. Yeah, you're my banker. Looks like to me we're in this deal together. Now, we can do something if you want to. I can tear that in half. Well, then it won't be any good. I said, well, you can keep your half and I'll keep mine. Don't work like that, does it? That banker trusted me that I would make those payments, so he loaned me that money. That's the way it works. Oh, yeah. But when he says, okay, I don't see how you're going to be able to complete your obligation, we got to take it away from you, and then we got to give it to somebody who we think can complete the obligation. Jesus don't play like that. You accept him, it's a done deal. And your name is in the book of life. God says right here to go on, so I will. It says in verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what has been done, what he has done. Okay? Now, that's not talking about great works. What do we have to do to get to heaven? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, in other words, accepted Jesus Christ, had their sins washed in the blood, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city. Amen or oh me? Well, good deal. I mean, if two people are happy, that's usually more than happy at my house, so I'm good. Could have stayed home, had two people happy. That's all good. Say, well, how do you get there, Barry? Well, let me just show you what it says right here in Romans 10, 9, and 10. Anybody know that verse? How am I going to have that reassurance? How am I going to know for a fact, without a shadow of a doubt, that I'm going to be with Jesus at the end? Well, it tells us right here in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. So God knows your heart. Don't try to lie to him. And it is with your mouth that you confess, and you are saved. Have you ever done that? That's our point here today. Have you ever confessed with your mouth? I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have you ever done that? If you never have, you have that opportunity today. All right? You say, well, I hate to make a commitment. Don't want to be embarrassed. Well, tell you what, be embarrassed. And Jesus coming back, he ain't going to know your name. What would embarrass me? I'll go ahead and get on a personal level. If I'd have walked in and nobody was, nah, we don't know Barry Clyer. That's kind of, well, for those that don't know me, it might be all right. But not willing to admit in public that you know me. What about Jesus? What do you do with Jesus in public? You want to be thrown in public with Jesus. Amen. Some of y'all know where that come from, all right? We can even take Ron White and make something Jesus out of it, okay? Oh, God help us, be with us all. Whoo, Barry Clyer's here, it's going to be bad. Romans 8. What does Romans 8 and 28 tell us? It says, and we know that all things God works for the good, and all in, we backed up. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God's names, for new, and also, that's the point right there. That's the point right there, that we are confirmed to his likeness and his son, that he might be the firstborn among other brothers. You sharing your firstborn child with everybody. Y'all got it made now. Y'all don't have to go down there to, what, Schubert's? They probably gone out of business now. Some of y'all remember that place you get load the family up, dress up, drive there, and try to put on a smile? Because if you got people ready and put them in a 73 model pickup with no air conditioner to drive down there to get your picture made, you're going to look like you just got out of the water trough. And then you got to put a smile on your face. And you got to get your family's picture taken. And then you got to go to the trouble of going somewhere else to get all those negatives printed because you couldn't afford that good guy to print them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you younger ones under the 20s, y'all don't have a clue. I'll just put it on your phone, go down there and plug it into a machine, and then you can print pictures and you can send it to everybody. Pretty neat. Got tables. I think I brought it up last time I was here. Got them table changing deals. You guys ain't even got to change your babies no more. We had to clean their diaper. We had to hose them off. You just go in there, pull that thing down, put your baby in there, slam it shut, open it back up, and hope it works. I got a grandson. I tried that on it. I guess the one I got didn't work because we had poop everywhere. He was crying twice as loud. I think that thing must have been out of diapers. It don't work like that. And then you go to the bathroom now. You got men and women and children, everybody all in the same bathroom. Got a family bathroom. Dalhart, Texas. I went to run. I trusted that this was the men's room. I run in there and, whoa, I was wrong. I looked around. There's kind of a women's department over here and a men's department over here and then a children's department in the middle. I was in the family bathroom in Dalhart, Texas in a little convenience store. Some of y'all know where that intersection is. Most of you don't even know where Dalhart, Texas is. It's just northwest of Cossie. All right? About 13 and a half hours. Yeah. That's if you're going a good truck. If you're going my truck, you plan on a couple of days. Bedroll, breakdown. I look around after going to the bathroom, and there is a man in there changing a child on one of them changing tables. And he was having trouble because he was trying to hold the baby from rolling off. He was a fat baby. And, oh, you can say fat and baby all in the same, yeah, that's okay. Fat baby. Well, he's trying to reach the wipes, and he's trying to reach all the stuff that he set down over there because he's a man. He didn't think about needing it all right there together because he only does it when Mama's mad and she's out there in the car wishing they was already there, swinging that leg. Point is, I said, I think I can help you, sir. I've done this a time or two. And so I grabbed that baby by the foot, and I kept it from falling off the table. I sure wasn't going to wipe his nasty hiney. And so he got all of his stuff, and he got said, bring it all over here to the workbench, and we got to do all this together. We got through, and I turned around, and I thought, hey, we can't leave here at the same time. I'm from Chestnut Mountain, not Brokeback Mountain. This ain't going to look good. Because they ain't going to just talk about us being a couple. Oh, I can't believe they let them adopt a child. I was hoping maybe they thought I had it and lost all the weight pretty quick. I don't know. So stupid stuff. See what I told y'all? If you're dumb as dirt, you ain't as dumb as me. I was thinking this stuff. Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. I'll give you a $20 bill to wait 15 minutes after I leave here. Give me your phone number. I'll call you. And then that really sounded bad. I wanted his number in the bathroom. I said, I'll call you and tell you when the coast is clear and then you can come out. We can't walk out of here together. We in the family bathroom. What difference would it make? I'm trusting God. I trust my wife. I'm not trusting what your opinion of me, but that's how we live, isn't it? Trusting what your opinion of me is. First 15 years of cowboying for a living, I trusted in my ability. I lived out in the panhandle of West Texas. Praise the Lord, I could see the cattle. Dog, I don't need no dog. What you need a dog for? I can see the cow. They can see me. We can get this deal on. I can catch them. I moved to Palapena County. Humble. I would love to live somewhere now that dog is an option instead of a necessity. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? I have to trust in what I can't see. I have to have faith in what I can't see. Then when I see it, whoo! Don't have to trust, don't have to have faith anymore. Are you ready not to have to trust in Jesus? Are you ready not to have faith in Jesus? Have you ever heard that from the pulpit? When you're looking Jesus face to face, when you're spending eternity with Jesus, when you have met him like Belton and Miss Anita have, they're not trusting and they're not having faith anymore. Amen, hallelujah, or what? They believe, they see. Trust is out the window. Faith is out the window. We got it. We've made it. Hallelujah. They say, well, the presidential election's coming up. Oh, yeah, he's going to go there. Why not? I saw a little deal on your raffle I had a problem with. I think let's wait till after November 4th to see which is first prize and which is second prize. The scooter to run away in is first prize right now. The gun to shoot back with is second prize. Now, I ain't even going to try to worry about how you're going to vote. But we may make that a little switch up. What do you think? Whether you want to shoot or run. About all I got to say about that. Y'all know. Because we ain't trusting the G-O-V. We're trusting G-O-D. God. Do you remember the story? You remember a little story that is a true story because it's in the Bible, about Moses wanting to get the Israelites away from the Egyptians, the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all are thinking about Charlton Heston right now? Yeah, if I let this beard grow out, it's gray, okay? I'm older than what I look. He was Moses in the first Ten Commandments. Not the first Ten Commandments. Moses was Moses in the first Ten Commandments, but the ones that we got to grow up with on TV. Y'all know where I'm going with this. What I didn't realize until I realized something in God's Word is that God hardened the Pharaoh's heart at that time that Moses went to the Pharaoh. That was basically the president, okay, the leader. It says in God's Word that he hardened Pharaoh's heart and would not let the Israelites leave. Do you know why? So that the Israelites would know that it was God that freed them and not the Pharaoh. I don't care who gets in the White House, okay? I do care. But I don't care spiritually who gets in the White House because I know God's in control of it, okay? And some people say, well, it can't be any worse. It can't be any better. That's totally opinionated because I'm going to tell you something. God don't change, and you can't shape Jesus. You can't change Jesus. I've tried. It don't work, and I think I'm pretty good at changing people's minds. I've had some pretty large people in some pretty tight spots keep from beating me to death. Had a guy one time at a rodeo, was mad because second place didn't pay what he thought second place should pay. First place paid a bunch, and then second place and third and right on down the line. Well, he had it figured out that second place ought to pay a whole lot more because he won second place. So I turned my microphone on, right out there in the middle of the arena and asked everybody, what do y'all think the first loser should win? That's what second place is. And winning first ain't going to get you to heaven, so who cares? But God put that on my mind to say out loud, and he kind of laughed about it. And when you're laughing, it's hard to whip somebody. Okay. Not that he didn't still want to. But it tells us right here in God's word, for all have sinned. Who did Jesus die for? Oh, yeah, us. Amen, little man. That's good stuff right there. He said in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Wow. You're joking me. Black lives matter. White lives matter. Police lives matter. I mean, you turn the TV on, it's everywhere. Brown lives matter. Whatever, green lives matter. I mean, just whatever color you want to come up with, whatever you want, whatever society, whatever group you want to join in and say, we're the best and to hell with the rest. And the reason I brought that up, I intentionally said to hell with the rest, because if you're not sharing Jesus Christ with a man or woman because of the color of their skin, where are you allowing them to end up? I don't stand up here and share this so that people will come and go to heaven. My biggest fear is that you do not hear the plan of salvation and die and go to hell. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of glory. Period. Young man that was white, young man was black. They was born the same day, same hospital, went home, went to the same school, grew up. Spent their life together, got out of high school, went to college together, roomed together. When they got married, he married one girl, then married another girl that knew each other all their life, and they spent their life together. They got in a car wreck and died together. The only argument that black man and that white man had had their whole life was what color was Jesus. Okay? They got up there. They walked up to the pearly gates. Well, now I've told that story, and it's a joke, so you know it ain't real. St. Peter, we got one question, one question. Yes, y'all have both been born again. Y'all got saved. Y'all was born physically and spiritually on the same. Y'all come on in. Welcome. We got one thing that we've been discussing. We got one question, and it's the same question. Is Jesus black or white? He said, well, why don't you just ask him? He's coming around the corner. And he come in and he said, ¿Qué pasa, amigos? I'd forgot all about that story, but God put that on my heart. We got a Spanish man over there that hadn't smiled the whole time. We got a black man here that he wasn't smiling. I was a little more concerned about you. We in this together. Color ain't got nothing to do with it. And we can talk about it in church and all we can talk about in our house. But let me tell you something. I'm still going to love you the same when we walk out that door. Martin Luther King Jr. said, he hoped and prayed for a day that a man was not judged by the color of his skin. Right now, we have not accomplished what Martin Luther King set out to do and what he gave his life for. Okay? Because a big percentage of the black judge me because I'm white. The big percentage of white judge a black man because he's black. And Spanish and Mexican and what? Where, I don't know if you're from Spain. You from Mexico? Grew up your family from Mexico? Okay. Let's get down here where we live. We live together. God put us on this earth to live together. Guess what we're going to get to do? You know Jesus Christ, you're going to get to spend eternity together. If you can't spend 37 minutes in a restaurant with an individual because of the color of his skin, how are you going to spend eternity with him? Huh? Yeah, it hurts, don't it? Yeah, well, I'm talking to me. I don't preach. I'm talking about the stuff that I go through, that God has allowed me to go through so that I can have to suffer through this so that God can say, Barry, you go tell them what I've allowed you to go through. So a man in our community asked me to come and get a bull for him Monday of last week. In closing, some of y'all don't know how long it takes me to close, but it woke a few of y'all up. No good, he's fixing to shut up. They ain't very many people outside of Jesus and his wife likes him. Okay? And it's questionable about his wife. I did not have a horse with me one of the first times in probably I don't know how long. I'm pulling through town. I'm loading the trailer down with some feed and some protein tubs. I got three or four dogs with me because there's always a calf or two out, and I have to put them back up, or the dogs have to because I can't. He said, hey, comes running over there. You know, he's just always, hey, you need to come catch a bull for me. Instead of can you, will you, you need to. Okay, where he's at, he's over here in an acre trap, about 900-pound yearling bull. He's running around, fighting him. He won't go in the trailer. He just won't go in that trailer. He won't have nothing to do with that trailer. We set up some panels, set up pens, and won't have nothing to do with it. Okay. He said, come over and help us. I said, well, I got a dart gun here, but we can tranquilize him. All right, that's what we need to do. He didn't have a clue what we need to do. But I said, okay, yes, sir, that's what we need to do. Go over there. He goes to rattling his trailer around, backing up the pins. The pins are going straight into the trailer. We got to go around something. This is cattle. Cattle have to go around stuff. Man, if you really want something, you got to go around it. You can't just go straight to it. Wives are smiling. Men are shaking their heads. So yeah, we understand it. I said, well, we got the pen set up wrong. That's my first thought. We have set this animal up to fail. Now, stay with me. God put this on me, so I got to share it with you. I went through 6 days of a leave and some bruises and scratches. Still got, you know, them gotcha plants that just jump out and get cacked. That's what all this is. I've had them lots of places. Right here was probably the painful. They're starting to work through and come out in my mouth, but it ain't slowed me down none. Well, this is what we need. We'll do this, this, and this. I said, sir, we got to be real patient, first of all. We got to be real quiet and trust the medicine. Trust the medicine. I said, we got to have faith. And I didn't expound that. I just said those words kind of subconsciously because God was preparing me to be here today. I didn't know that's why I got stomped. That's Monday. So I've already taken a stomping for y'all. Oh, woe is me. So that bull makes a circle, makes a couple of circles, and I kneel down behind a tree. I look around that tree, and I get my dart gun, and when he come by, I shot him. It was a drive-by. He's a black bull, so black bulls matter, okay? Thank you, man. I appreciate it. So I got him. Whoo, yeah. So I sat down. Well, Bubba, he jumps over the fence with his hired help that's been raking pecans in their khaki shorts with their Carhartt hoodies. I'm not judging anybody for what they wear. Okay. But you got what I'm working with here. I said, patience, patience. Be quiet, be still. Trust the medicine to go to work. Let's have patience. So I just stayed kneeled down by this tree. I'm looking around. And see, this is supposed to be solid, so but anyway, it's all working. Here comes the guy in the hoodie and the cactus shorts. They were khaki, but they were cactus when we got through. He coming running up there next to me when the bull sees me, and he ain't calmed down yet. His head drops a little bit lower, and the tail quits swinging, so the rompum and the ace is starting to work on him. We need about 60, maybe 70 more seconds. This deal is on, because 138 pounds is going to sneak up on about 900, and I'm going to tie him down, and he ain't going to know it. And when he wakes up in that trailer, he's going to say, how'd I get in here? That's going in my mind. It's happened so many times before. I've trusted this system, okay? I had faith in this system because I had seen it work. Some of y'all getting a spiritual message out of this now. Thank you. If one gets it, that's all that matters. So he comes over there in my space. I learned in kindergarten you don't get in people's space. Isn't that right? And so he's standing there like this. Bull just sized him up. He comes staggering down there. And just dang near got him. And I grabbed him by the hoodie and pulled him behind the tree. And the bull made another circle. And he come back up and he sized us up again. Well, he steps out now. He said, hey, buddy, hey, just take him driving. Clap your hands and make him go towards the trailer. Well, he like that. I wasn't the trailer. Here come the bull. He done pushed me out here away from the tree. As the bull gets about right here, I shoved the man behind the tree. Bull steps right here and slams me to the ground in the cactus. It knocked me out, and I know why it knocked me out. So that the Holy Spirit, okay, would be seen in this. Because what I was probably going to say wasn't going to be coming from the Holy Spirit. God says, I'm going to have to knock this hard-headed little sumbuck out if he's going to get up and say something and ruin the witness. They said I got up, got my rope, and went to the next tree where the guy in the hoodie was not and kneeled down. The bull come around, got to the tree again. But what you need to understand is I had already prayed for God to deliver that bull to me. And I was trusting God to deliver that bull with me to me. Because just like we started, I'm trusting God to deliver this body and this spirit and this soul to heaven. Change this body, excuse me, to deliver the soul that's inside me through his spirit to heaven. I had to use a lot of persuasion, a lot of tools, a lot of things that God had blessed me with to get this job done. And I was trusting in that. The man that was with me was not trusting. Got the bull tied down, pulled him in the trailer, got the job done. Because I know some of y'all, that's all you're concerned about through this. But spiritually, I got to look that man in the eye and said, only because of Jesus, we got this done. 10 years ago from now, I'd be standing up here bragging about it. Right now, I'm telling you this story, not bragging about it, because I told you all the things that I had to give up and go get a horse, didn't go hang it on him, didn't go do all the cowboy stuff. No. Spent the rest of the day picking cactus out of my face. Still am. But that man got to see Jesus. He got to hear what trust and faith. Now, how do you know, Barry? I heard that story repeated to me at the store yesterday. I ain't told nobody else in that circle. That man told him. So you never know what you're going through. Ain't got nothing to do with you a lot of times. It's going to reach somebody. You remember that, Steve, down there? I think God put that in my heart, what to go to pray about. Catching by just down there to do that. That's where I met you. And then, isn't that right? And then you said, hey, this guy right here will take the blame for everything. We can keep our church together, okay, because we're going to let his wife keep the times. Y'all can be mad at her if the times are messed up. He's going to judge, and he's even going to announce, and y'all can be mad at him when he leaves, and then we won't split the church up because the preacher flagged out some layperson. Right? Am I right? Am I wrong, Amarillo? I mean, yeah. Say, well, how do you do that? How do you have that trust? Have a wife that's on her knees every morning, every day, thinking you're special. And know that you ain't without Jesus. And they're praying for you. And wife, if you're the vocal one in the house, and I'm talking about for Jesus, I know all wives are the vocal one in the house. Help me out of this one, Lord. Then men, pray for her. If she's the one that's reaching the children or maybe the young adult Sunday school class, or the, pray. You say, well, praying don't amount to much. Let me tell you something. Without prayer, we wouldn't have nothing. How did the walls of Jericho come down? Woo! Prayer. Yeah, it did. Get on around there and pray. That's what God tells us to do. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son to condemn the world. How many of you knew about that? How many people did you condemn this last week? Write them off. Well, would Jesus write them off? Well, I can't forgive them. They did such and such to me. Well, would Jesus forgive them? Are you better than Jesus? Am I better than Jesus? Well, when you put it like that, I'm guilty, people. This is what I get up and have to live with every day. Y'all get to see Barry Clyre once a year. That's why y'all like seeing Barry Clyre. I got to see me every day. Scary, huh? Well, thanks for only two of you saying amen. You were talking about yourself, wasn't you? Okay. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Trust. John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Some of you are really upset. Some of you have really struggled this last week with the presidency, the candidates that we have to vote for. The problems that's going on in the world. You're really struggling, okay? What about right here? What about right here in God's Word? John 14:1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. This is red letters, so he's saying trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. In my Father's house, there's many rooms. That means that there's room for everybody. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. For if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where Jesus is. Are you excited about that? Do you think, if you're in your heart, walked in here this morning and said, this is the best it's ever going to be, this is all there is, I've got to get what I can get and hang on to it. If you walked in this room this morning, that is a bald-faced lie. If you think this is all there is. Our hope is in Jesus. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ through this church? How many? Don't be ashamed. Because of Jesus Christ, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, guess what? He's in every church. God's Word teaches us that. It says that you know where I'm going, and you know the place where I am going. If he's made us a place and he's made us a promise, then he's coming back to get us. And that's something that Belton and Anita know this morning. Now, some people think you go to a little place and wait a little while, and then Jesus, the dead in Christ, shall rise, and then us, the rest that are walking around here on earth that know Jesus Christ, we're going to be, y'all getting in way too deep for me if y'all want to go there. I don't know what it's going to be like if you come over to my house for supper. But let me tell you something. I know it's going to be good, and I know there's going to be plenty of it. Because I know that lady right there. She can cook. She can't look at me. I gained 24 pounds since we've been married. Yeah. I think I weighed 114 when we got married. Remember that? You had put it on me, Mama. Thank you. Woo! We all carry our weight a little bit different. We all carry different things, but not everybody can go and buy a 30-size Levi. Not everybody needs to wear overalls, so we're all in this together, right? The guy that got up and hope he sold skinny jeans, he's thanking the Lord for skinny people. The guy that woke up and wanted to sell some extra double XRL, well, hey, praise the Lord, he's making money. Hope he's tithing on it and going to church and witness to the folks. Amen or oh me. We're all in this together. In Jesus' name, we're in this together. If there's anyone in this room today that has not accepted Jesus, and God gave me a lot of stuff that I didn't write down. I made me a few notes that kind of directed me that away. But see, God knew who was going to be here this morning, and God knew what you needed to hear from his word. God knew that some of y'all wasn't going to listen to his word. Y'all come to listen to me, and I had to get you to his word so you would quit listening to me. So when you leave here, you'll know you heard God's word. Does that make any sense? So see how all that works. I know a couple of you come in here and say, I've heard him before, and I ain't listening. That's fine. Seeds don't fall on the ground and doesn't get harvested when God plants them. That seed may sit on that old crusty soil for a long time, but let me tell you something. Somebody is going to be able to plow into it, and God is going to be able to rain on it. And that seed that I planted this morning was not from Barry. It's from Jesus Christ. And that's when that seed is going to grow. And y'all hearing something from somebody that don't know one iota about farming. Okay? Nothing. I love cotton farmers to death. Lisa's granddaddy was a cotton farmer. Best thing about cotton's jeans and shirts. Them 4,000 count sheets. I can't afford them. I just slept on some one time. Them things are soft. Where are you at this morning? Are you trusting Jesus Christ? Are you having faith in Jesus Christ? Lord, I come to you right now, Lord, as our folks move into place to do what you've called them to do, God, as servants of yours, Lord. If there's someone here this morning that has not accepted you, has not accepted your word for their salvation, God, that's first and foremost this morning. Lord, that they would reach someone, that if they need to come down this morning and take care of that, or if they just need to share that, confess with somebody, and so that it can be shared and prayed upon, Lord, that's their business, and that's your business. I ain't getting in that. Lord, I especially pray for those that have accepted you, Lord Jesus, that you have busted the crust on that soul. You have had that seed planted, and it's growing. But God, it ain't flourishing. It ain't blooming like you've asked for it to. Lord, I'm it. I'm there. And God, I need you to help me every day. To honor and glorify you in every situation, every job that comes up, every time I stop to put gas in my pickup. God, if I'm not shining just a crazy plum fool idiot for you, God, then I need to check up and say, God, put me back where I need to be so that I can do what I do for you, not for me. Lord, I trust you for my home. I trust you for my vehicles. I trust you for everything here on this earth, God, because I know that I can claim without a shadow of a doubt, I trust you with my soul. I want to thank you for a family, the achievement, God, of having a family that knows you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for that, and I praise your name for that. Lord, I thank you for a man in Dequeen, Arkansas, that ran a mechanic shop that witnessed to my dad back in the late 70s so that he could turn around and become a Christian, that he could accept you as his Lord and Savior. Lord, I ain't always like that man, but Lord, you called me to love him. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for him leading me, giving me a drug problem, God. He drugged me to church. And Lord, I want to thank you for that. That I could hear someone share the fact that if I confess with my mouth that I believe in my heart, Lord Jesus, that you would save me. And I thank you for that. And I just lift up this country. Lord, I lift up those that have fought and lived and died for this country, those that have come home and are not mentally or physically able to take care of themselves. God, I pray that you'd forgive us as a so-called Christian nation, that we could step up and start taking care of our family members. Lord, I thank you for this church. God, they sang a song this morning that they love this church. The reason we love this church, God, is because you have saved. You had people confess this morning that without this church, they wouldn't have known you. And we thank you for that. Lord, I lift up the pastor. I lift up the song leaders. And Lord, the people that are back there trying to keep the kids from pulling their hair out right now as the preacher's preaching too long. Lord, I just ask you to be with them. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all the things you're going to do for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen.